week, so we're going to finish this week. But here's what I find interesting. Many of you have said, you know, Pastor, since you started this series, I've been paying attention. And oh my goodness, the false teachers that are out there. There's one, I didn't even know she existed, and kind of hate that I do know now. I can't remember her name. And I was listening to her the other day, and man, she is a heretic from the word go. And of course, she claims she is pastor apostle. And it's like, okay, hold on a minute. Number one, you can't be pastor because you're female. We've got scripture that says the office is male. And then number two, you can't be an apostle because there's three qualifications to being an apostle. Three. And she looks to be in her 30s. So I know she wasn't there to witness the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Amen. So that's number one right there. I mean, she's out. Then number two, you had to be taught by Jesus, right? Which actually would have been number one. Number two, you had to have been taught by Jesus. And number three, you would have had to have been able to carry out the ministry of the apostle, which is to raise the dead. Yeah, she's out. So I'm like, she's taking on two titles that aren't hers. And then she gets up and she starts talking. And as she's talking, she's like saying things that aren't scripturally right. And if I remember her name, it'll come back to me here in a minute, but we'll see. And then she says this. She's like, she makes a statement. And then after the statement, she goes, I know it's not in the Bible, but God's given a new thing. We don't need to just stick to the Bible. God's doing something new. And I'm like, somebody needs to high five her face right now. Right? God's not, listen, God, let me help you guys. God is never going to give anything new. That's contrary to this. Right? We have to live and die by the word of God. And when we look at the word of God, God says, this is your instruction book for life. And anything that goes contrary to that, you run from it. And anybody that says anything contrary to it, you run from it. And, you know, we have a world now that is anti-God, anti-right, pro-wrong, pro-confusion, pro-chaotic, pro-lying, pro-deceit. Like, this is our world. Did anybody ever notice that? I mean, like, we're living in it. And so as we see this and we watch things unfold, what we're realizing is what Peter is talking about here in 2 Peter. And he's like, I'm warning you. Listen. Hey. Right? That's what he's doing. He's getting our attention. So we're going to start in 2:1. I'm going to read the passage, and then we're going to finish up the last seven. I might want to jump in this sooner than later. Here we go. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies and even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And so, guys, what we see today and even in churches, I mean, all around, is churches are leaving the gospel. And then those who stand on the gospel, who refuse to move, are now being looked at as full of hate. They're being looked at as I've been told multiple times, Pastor, you're too black and white. Well, praise Jesus, because he was black and white. Amen. Listen, black and white, when we understand truth, and I had the opportunity to share the gospel with someone yesterday, and we were talking, and in my mind, I went, I may not be able to share with him again, so I better take advantage of the opportunity. Amen. And so I said, hey, man, I introduced myself. And then I said, are you going to heaven? Like, I know I probably could have started out with something different, but are you going to heaven seemed to be the great question. And then his response was, well, I like to think so. And I went, dude, you're not going to heaven. What do you mean? I said, how do you get to heaven? He goes, I'm good. I go, yeah, but you're not good enough. The truth is, dude, you're going to hell. And of course, I was taller than him, so that helped me. And no, he had a sweet spirit. He had a great spirit. But I said, you're going to hell. But let me tell you why. See, the reality is, guys, we're all born, and when we're born, we're destined to hell because we're born sinners. That separates us from God. False teachers will tell you God loves you just the way you are, and everybody's going to heaven. And I said, the reality is God doesn't send people to hell. People choose that. Because here's what's happening. You're on your way to hell. You're born a sinner destined for hell, separated from God. And then God says, hey, listen, you're on your way to hell. Let me give you a life preserver. The life preserver is Jesus. And if you grab hold of the life preserver, you won't go to hell. But if you don't grab hold of the life preserver, which is your only life preserver, there is no other, there's no other way, you're not good enough, you'll never be good enough, nothing's good enough, it's Jesus and Jesus only. And if you don't grab a hold of that life preserver, then you're already going where you were headed anyway. Like nothing disrupted your path to hell. Jesus is the disruption between you and where you're going. And so God the Father says, here's my son, Jesus. And if you grab hold of him, you won't go to hell. But if you don't, then you're going to hell, but you're on your way there anyway. God's not sending you there. It was an automatic. And he looked at me, and I continued to walk down the road and explain everything to him. And he looked at me and he goes, I've never heard this before. I never heard it like this. He goes, man, it makes so much sense. It's so clear. And so then I shared scripture. Because here's the reality, guys. As we're coming to an end on the false teacher side of this, you have to understand if anybody's sharing anything other than that truth, it's a lie. It's a lie. And I've shared this with you guys before, that every one of you are sinners. And I can prove it. If you've never told a lie, raise your hand. You never told a lie, raise your hand. Well, you're condemned. If you've never looked at someone inappropriate or you've never gossiped, raise your hand. If we just went on those two things alone, we're all guilty. We're all guilty. And guess what? If you decided today, from this moment on, you'll be perfect. Someone's got to pay from this moment back for your sins. So that's why we're condemned, guys. Not because God condemns us. He will. He'll be our judge. But we're condemned because of our own poor, now hold on to this word, because I don't want you to mess this one up. Our own poor decisions. Not mistakes. I love when I counsel people and they have done completely wrong and it was an on purpose completely wrong. And they'll go, Pastor, you don't understand, it was a mistake. And I go, no, it was a calculated poor decision. What do you mean it was a mistake? And so when we call it a mistake, that's our way to get out of it, to call us innocent. But we're really guilty. Amen? I mean, we're all guilty. And by the fact that nobody in here raised their hand says you're guilty, but here's the coolest part. God the Father says, hold on. I have the solution to your problem. And his name is Jesus. And if you grab hold of him, you'll make it. But if you don't, you have no hope. And so as I continue to talk to him, he said, well, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, but you don't believe on Jesus. Like you know he exists, you believe he exists, but you don't believe he's your savior. And he's like, well, wow. I go, that's the separation, man. Like that's the difference. There's a lot of people that believe Jesus exists. There's a lot of people that believe in Jesus, but they've never believed on Jesus. There's some of you sitting here today. You say, I believe in Jesus, but you've never given Jesus Christ your life. And the proof is in the pudding. Just look at the way you live. I'll look up so nobody thinks I'm talking about them. But that's a reality, right? I mean, that's the truth. Because even scriptures, if you go into 1 John, First John says, if you're living like you have in sin and there's no proof of Jesus, then you don't have Jesus. The book of First John, just read it. And that's where people are. That's the truth of it. Some of you have absolute religion, but you don't have a relationship. And that's the difference between Christianity and all other religions. By the way, I've told you guys this before, there's 4,500, almost 4,500 different religions in the world. 4,500. That'd make your head spin. But here's the truth of the matter. And I had an opportunity to witness to someone last week, and we got into this discussion. And I said, here's the truth, man. Because his question was, why all the religions? Are you going to tell me all of them are going to hell? I said, all of them but one. 4,499 are wrong and they're going to hell. Because here's the reality, guys. There's two religions in the world. It's what God says or what man thinks. And man thinks he's good enough. You're not. No, I'm not either. So we are not. How's that? We'll be all inclusive. We are not. That's a problem right from the beginning. But here's what we do. We make up all these rules to make us appear good enough. And it's all heresy, guys. And it all stems from false teaching. If you believe you're okay, you're okay. No, you're not. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're okay. Period. Nothing else. Nothing. Nothing. And it's like, well, I think there's your problem. Amen. Some of you didn't appreciate that, and some of you didn't actually catch it, but you will on your way home. But that's the reality, amen, is when we go, well, I think, and it's like, well, wait a minute. If what you think goes contrary to what God says, then what you think is wrong. And these false teachers, guys, this is why I've been on this, and this is why I seem to just keep driving this one home, because you have to understand, and there's many false teachers around this area and around the world, around the country. There's many false teachers, and there's many false, they call themselves a church, and you'll fall in love with people there, and you're like, they're such good people. Well, the Bible says none are good. None. No, not one. We're all unrighteous. We're all sinners. We're all as filthy rags. Well, that's not pleasant. And Isaiah says we're as filthy rags. If you were to go back and look at that, filthy rags does not mean, and some will say it's the ladies' cycle that they're talking about. Because you can't have anything to do with the blood, and women have to, Old Testament, have to separate themselves, so on and so forth, and this whole thing. But I don't think that's what it is. I think it's the rags of a leper. Because when you take the rags off of the leper, they're contagious. Sin is contagious. And we're filthy rags. And by the way, there's no cure for leprosy. Back then, there was nothing that anyone can do except for Jesus. When he touched them, it cleansed them. If he didn't touch them, then they were filthy for life. They died filthy. So I think it has to do with the rags of a leper. And guys, if we don't start grabbing hold of this whole big picture of who we are, and who Christ is, we're in trouble. Amen? Because you will live a lie. Listen, the Bible says in the end days, people are going to be looking for someone to tell them what they want to hear. Because I'm going to tell you right now, my words are not popular. They're just not. But I didn't, listen, this isn't Albany's Got Talent or East Greenbush Has Talent contest. This is Connecting Point Church, where we preach the gospel. And we have to understand the truth. And you can't walk out of here. And that's why people have a struggle with me, because in a day when people want their ears tickled and they want to feel good, and our world has pushed hate and biasness and bigotry and all this stuff that didn't exist. I mean, listen, Morgan Freeman said it best. He was in an interview and they asked him, well, how do you make racism go away? And he simply looked at the guy and he said, quit talking about it. Just quit talking about it and it'll go away. But see, we can't stop talking about it because Satan's agenda is to destroy the world. And if he's going to destroy the world, he's got to destroy us, because he doesn't care about you and I. All he cares about is hurting God. And if he hurts us, then he's hurting God. And he knows that. And so his choice is to destroy us so we walk away from God. And how is he doing it? Like he's always done it. Deceit. Heresy, false teaching. And then you have someone like me that comes on the scene and says, whoa, hold on, back up. Let's look at the verse again. And people are like, oh, he's hateful. He's hateful. I'm hateful because I tell you the truth. So that means Paul was hateful and Peter's hateful here. Jesus was hateful. God himself, the Father, is hateful. Abraham was hateful. All the apostles were hateful. All the prophets were hateful. Everybody's hateful that tells the truth. Is that what we have to believe? And then you're going to run somewhere else to find what you want to hear so you can settle in to feel good about you? How about we just make adjustments and do what God says so we just feel good? Because what happens, guys, when we believe these false teachers, we lose our identity. We forget who we are in Christ. And when Paul preached to the churches, he said he would list all these sins. And then he says this, and such were some of you. The key word, the operative word is were. What happened? They made changes. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And that's proof that you love me. The world says, no, you got to blend in so you don't offend no one. You got to blend in. And then they come in and you got to make the church comfortable for the lost. Oh no, I don't. I need to poke them like poking a bear to get their attention so they hear truth. And then they can walk away and discern what they want to do with that truth. That's what we do. Amen. And so when we look at this, guys, I'm just going to tell you that, John, we got to go back to setting this thing so it doesn't sleep anymore. There we go. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. The way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. Listen, how are they going to get you? Everything I just told you, verse 4, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Guys, I'm going to tell you, when people live in sin and we got to live around it, it crushes our soul. And you know why people lie to you? Because, and why pastors are lying today? Because they want to fill the seats. I look at it this way. I'll preach the word of God and let him fill the seats. Because if you read in Acts, it says he adds unto the church daily. I have a job. My job is to preach truth, to love on you, to help you understand it, to help you grow, to mature, to receive it, to build you up so you can go out into the world and live a righteous life in a world of wickedness. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 down through, I think, 19. That's my job. Our job is to live righteous and live holy according to the word of God. But these destructive teachers are going to lie to you. They're going to make you believe stuff that's absolutely not true. And you might enjoy their big smile and you might say, well, they're not as offensive as Pastor John, so I'll listen to them. It's funny, I had someone leave the church. They went to another church, and then they needed to call me back and say, Pastor, I need to tell you something. I'm like, yeah, what's up? This was after they had already left, and they're like, well, this pastor, he doesn't preach on homosexuality, and he doesn't offend people like you do, and I just want you to know that you can go online and listen to him, and you might learn something. And I was like... and my point was to this, and I said, man, well, thank you for the phone call. And I'll be praying for you as you spiral down to hell. And then I got hung up on. But that was okay. Right? It was okay. And it's like, they're not preaching on sin. They're not preaching on hell. They're not preaching on everything that we're warned against. If Jesus came to die for us, why did he come? What did he come to save us from? If he came to die and save us so that we wouldn't go to hell, we would go to heaven, right? If there's nothing to be afraid of, then what did he die for and what are we being saved from? And these false teachers, these heretics, all they do is focus on deceit and they despise authority. Look here in 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, they're presumptuous, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring reveling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes. Or remember, spots are the stains that we talk about, like white, like chocolate ice cream or spaghetti on a white dress or a white shirt. It's just ugly. And they're blemishes. They're not worth anything. There's no value in them. That's what Peter says about these false teachers. And they count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They don't even hide it anymore. It's just wide open. Have you noticed how wide open sin is today? Have you noticed how wide open? They don't hide anything anymore. Nothing. All the way up to the sitting resident hides nothing. Nothing. He's destroyed. He's attacking Texas because Texas is trying to uphold the Constitution and protect the borders. And he's like, I'll arrest you if you do that. I'll arrest you. Texas, I'll arrest you. Actually, his term, because I listened to the tape, his term was cowboys. I'll arrest those cowboys if they stop anybody from crossing the border. What are you... It's the insanity, right? But that's what's happening. In the daytime, man, we don't hide it anymore. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. It's just, they're so ungodly. It's just in them. They can't even stop it. And they stop at nothing. Enticing unstable souls. And so I want to go to verse, did we stop at number 14 or 15? 14, they entice unstable souls. That's right where I'm at. I thought that's what it was. Listen, that word entice literally means to allure, entrap, or delude. They're trying to entrap you. Why? Because if they can make you a prisoner of the lie, you never understand the truth. You're deceived and you go to hell. I'm telling you, man, these Christians that, or these people that call themselves Christians and their lifestyle is absolute corrupt. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. You're not born again. You do not know Jesus and your destiny is hell at this point. That's what this says. And so sin does entice us, but it always leads to death. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's through Jesus. Number 15, they have a heart trained in covetous practices, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are cursed children. They have a heart that is trained. Trained. Who did the training? Well, if it goes against God, it's got to be Satan. And you go, oh, Satan's not training me. Let me tell you something. If your heart is not set on Jesus and the things of Jesus, you have been trained by your father, the devil. John chapter 8, verse 47, I think it is. Actually, it'd be 35 through 48. Trained. That means someone has set out. It literally means that they have trained their hearts through continuous use to be greedy or to covet that which belongs to someone else. Boy, we see that all the time, right? And of course, it's breaking one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:17. Did I give you that one? There you go. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And I love the last part of this because people are like, well, my neighbor might be a donkey, but he doesn't have one, and so I'm okay there. No. It is anything that your neighbor has, anything that is your neighbor's, you don't covet it. Boy, you get on Facebook, though, and what does that cause? What does that create? People looking on it like everybody's telling the truth on Facebook. Putting up all this glorious stuff. First time they went on vacation in 10 years, they put it up like it's their daily activity. And then you sit back, look at it, and go, that should be my life. Yeah, you stay home for 10 years. You've been doing that. It is your life. Stop it. Amen? I'm just saying. All right, let's get back to this. Number 16, because if I don't move on, we're never going to get this done. Number 16. They are accursed children. Guys, do you understand the ramifications of this? Do you understand what it literally means that they are accursed children? That means, and by the way, not children of God. They're cursed children of Satan. That's why they're cursed. You can't live a life of deceit and it's being constant with it and be a child of God. And you sure can't do it and say you love Jesus. You can't. The Bible is real clear about that. As a matter of fact, in 1 John, he says, listen, if you know Jesus, you won't constantly pursue sin. And some of you are constantly pursuing sin. You don't let anything get in your way. It means somebody gives you the word of God. You're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And you blow it off. You're not a child of God. But these false teachers will have you believe it. And I'm telling you, they're accursed. They're condemned. And the destruction that God's going to bring on them is horrific. It's going to be horrific. Oh, please don't make no mistake about it. Today, listen, sin is good for a season, amen? And we all know that. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Sin does have its season of fun, amen? Yeah, some of you are like, don't want to say amen because you think it'll indict you, but it won't. I'm just simply saying it has its season. I mean, we can't be silly and to think it doesn't. But I'm just going to tell you that they are accursed and they stay in it and they practice it and there's no conviction. There's nothing to pull them back. That's how you know. That's how you know they're not a child of God. When they're living in sin and that constant sin, whatever it is, and there's no conviction to stop it and it completely goes against this, then I'm telling you, you're going to pay a price for that. Now, if you listen to a false teacher, they're like, nope, God made you that way. That's what you want to do. I won't, but that's what you really want to do. Amen. They're accursed children, these false teachers who lead others astray. They're literally living under a curse. And they're so blinded by Satan, they don't even know it. They don't even know it. That's crazy, amen. But that's what the Bible says, that those who are not of God will be blinded by Satan, and false teachers feed that blinding. Number 17, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray. Look here in verse 15. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, here's what's interesting about Balaam. If you go back and you were to read I think it was Numbers 22, we're not going to go there for sake of time, but he was a prophet of God. And he got summoned by a king who wanted him to come and curse the children of Israel. The king's name will come to me in a second. And so he's like, no, I can't. I'll go against God. God's told me no. God's called me to this. I can't do it. And then he sets out. It's like God even makes a donkey talk to him, right? Because he was the one that was beating the donkey. And the donkey's like, why are you beating me? And here, because the donkey was trying to save him, God, there's an angel of the Lord with a sword, and the donkey could see him, but Balaam couldn't. And so the donkey kept trying to go sideways, and then he would beat the donkey. And then finally, the angel of the Lord shows himself, and then Balaam immediately drops to the ground, falls on his face. But here's the problem. God told him, you do not go against Israel. They're my blessed people. Don't go against Israel. Guys, today we shouldn't go against Israel, but if you pay attention to the news and you look at our administration and the government, and they're all trying to go against Israel. And I'm telling you, the ones that go against Israel, the Bible says, will be accursed. And so Balaam is going to go against Israel. And God says, don't you do it. And so Balaam's like, okay, I won't. And then he goes to the king and he, through deceit, well, listen. Okay, I can't. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to bless Israel because God told me to bless Israel. But king, let me tell you how to take them down. And so he says, hey, here's what you do. All you got to do is take your people and convince Israel that the two of you can come together. And man, just pollute the bloodline. That's all you got to do. And the king's like, oh, okay. And then Balaam felt that he didn't go against God. Man, you can't play two ends to the middle. God cursed Balaam. And that's what these false prophets are doing, right? They take the word of God, and then they add all their own little frou-frou in there so that it's palatable, and then people believe it. You can't go against God and not be cursed. I'm just telling you, you can't do it. And here it says they've forsaken the right way, and man, they are cursed people. Isaiah 53:6 says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everyone has turned to his own way. We've all turned away from God, and God laid our sin on Jesus. That's the truth, but these false teachers won't say that. Put Joel Osteen on the spot on Good Morning America, and they simply asked him two questions. One was on Good Morning America. One was on Larry King Live. On Larry King Live, Larry said, so are you telling me that Muslims aren't going to heaven because they don't believe in your Jesus? And old Joel, he was like, I'm going to leave that up to God. Are you kidding me, dude? That was your opportunity to tell the truth, the whole truth, and maybe help someone. And then he goes on Good Morning America, and they ask him this question. Are you telling me homosexuals can't get to heaven? God loves everyone, and I'm not here to judge. Someone hit him in the back of the head with a chair. Are you kidding me? You had another opportunity to tell people the truth. And because you didn't want to hinder your book sales and you didn't want anybody in your church to leave, you compromised at best and boldly lied against God at worst. You're cursed. And then I had a pastor friend of mine who actually had what he called the opportunity to preach for Joel. And so he went and he preached for him, blah, blah, blah. And it was just Joel with a different face. And so I reached out because he put it on Facebook. And then he said, oh, it's the most amazing thing. When all the cameras are off, he gives a clear cut invitation from Scripture. So I quickly instigated and asked a question. Why does he wait until the cameras are off? Why doesn't he just do it in front of the cameras for the whole world so they can all go to heaven? To which the response was, delete. He deleted my question. You heretic. That's what I'm saying, guys. These guys are cursed. We've all went astray. God sent Jesus, the Father sent his Son to die for you and me that we wouldn't get caught up in these lies and this deceit. Stop trying to make yourself feel good and just surrender to God so you do feel good. The deceit that is just run amok in our world. Listen, let me help you out here. Matthew 7:13. Did I give you guys that one? There you go. Some I didn't, and forgive me for keep asking. Matthew 7:13. Are you ready? Look at this. You guys need to look this. You need to read it. It's up here. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to hell. Okay, it says destruction, but it's hell. It's literally as hell, a place of forever torment in a fiery pit where the worm does not stop writhing and the worm will not die. That's the destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Many. Why? Because of the false teaching and the heresy. And you guys like a personality on TV, and these personalities, they're there for a reason. They're good at what they do for a reason, because their heart has been trained to deceive you so they can get rich. And you go, oh, not the one I listen to. Let me help you. If it's mainstream and it's not, David Jeremiah is a great one to listen to. He is. He's a great one to listen to. He and I bumped heads one day. We had a little bit of a disagreement, but it all came out good. This is way back. This is 30 years ago. This is when I was out of control, I guess. And so, but it was good. It ended up being fine. Jack Hibbs, he's another good one. If you're not listening to Jack Hibbs, turn him on. He's good. Yeah, he don't care if you like him or not either. Charles Stanley, listen to his old stuff. That's good stuff. Oh my goodness, I'm trying to think of some other ones. There's some good ones out there, guys. But man, let me help you out. If anyone goes against or tries to explain away the scriptures in a way that is not biblical, turn them off. And you say, well, they're only wrong in this area. Hello. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. Put the brakes on it, guys. Don't feed it. Listen, there's a narrow way. There's a narrow way. Be so cautious, because the narrow way is Jesus only. That's why Jesus is referenced as the door. The door. Not the highway. The door. He's it. There's nothing else. There's no one else. And if anyone says anything, well, God's got a new way. No, he doesn't. Oh, well, listen, this is so antiquated. Throw it away, because today is not, we've come so far. Oh, yeah, you're right. We're bigger morons today than we've ever been in our entire life. We have gained so much knowledge. There's a knowledge. Oh, my goodness. Turn it on. Search it out. Talk about knowledge. I can gain a ton of, oh, and how about this? I can gain a ton of knowledge. A ton. And the Bible says you gain all that knowledge and don't even get an inch closer to the truth. Because that's what the world does. They feed us. Oh, we're so intelligent. Oh, my. You just don't know how smart I am. Okay. You're right. I don't know because you don't show it. All right, here we go. To illustrate the sin of going astray, Peter talks about Balaam. We've already talked about number 18. And number 18 puts us into verse 17 of 2 Peter. They are wells without water. Verse 17, these are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. They're wells without water. You know what that means? That literally means that they have the appearance of what you can get life and refreshment from, but they're dry. They got nothing to sustain you. Nothing. It's like you're desperate for nutrients, and so you eat a Snickers bar. And you say, well, it's good because it's got peanuts in it. Do you see the crazy? And these people that are preaching a false gospel, man, listen, they're wells without water. They're of no purpose or use. They don't quench that spiritual thirst. And then verse 19, it gives another example that they're clouds carried by a tempest. They're empty clouds. You see a cloud and you're like, oh, it's going to rain. And so you're outside doing a project. And you're like, oh, it's going to rain. And you rush and you put everything away. And then it doesn't rain. And you're like, daggummit. That's a Southern term, daggummit. I don't even know where I got it from. It should be a real word. But it's like, daggummit. And then you got to take everything out again, right? And then here comes another cloud. You're like, oh, I know it's going to rain. You put it all back, and then it just passes by. That's what these guys are. They're just false teachers, empty words. They have nothing, nothing to offer. They're driven by Satan. Look here in number 20. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. The clouds carried by a tempest. I said that. Now I know who's not listening to me. Oh, don't point the finger at me. I'm not operating that board. Gimpy, what's up, girl? I'm not. Go back one. There you go. Write it down, guys. Come on. Keep up. Good night. They're like, you didn't put it up. I don't control that button. That's my way of passing it on to you. No, I'm kidding. I should have told you to bring it up, and I didn't. I'll take full responsibility. Number 19, they're clouds carried by a tempest. Remember, I was talking about the clouds. They have no rain in them. Okay, let's move on. 20. Here we go again. They speak great swelling words of emptiness. Man, you ever talk to someone, you ask them a question, and they'll give you like this incredibly long answer that meant absolutely nothing. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just listen to Kamala Harris when she talks. And no, seriously, I was like, that's a great example. I'm not trying to say she can't speak. Just listen to her. And but that's what this is, right? I should have played the video. No, I'm not going to do it. But anyway, she got up there and she said, like, she went on this 30-second rant. And I looked at Sherry and I go, what? And Sherry goes, and so I replayed it. And it was like, what? And I'm like, move on. Great swelling words of emptiness, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. Listen, what are they doing? They're luring you in with empty words to deceive you. Isn't that what Satan did in the very beginning with Adam and Eve? With Eve. Adam was just ignorant enough to go along with it. I think what happened, and this is totally not even in my sermon, but I'm going to share anyway. I got 2 minutes. I can do this. So Satan comes to deceive Eve, and he did exactly what these false teachers do. He was like, God knows. that in the day you eat of that, you'll be just like him. He didn't lie to her because he finished the statement knowing good and evil. And here's the problem. She was already lusting after it in her heart. The Bible says she looked at that and she saw it was good. And then she called God a liar. By the very fact of eating it, she said, God was trying to lie to me. She didn't trust God. She didn't believe God. She believed Satan, who was deceiving her, the serpent. And all he did was feed what was already lusting in her heart. That's all he did. And see, you guys, when you're looking, doing, saying, living a certain way, Satan will just keep feeding that. Why? Because that's in your heart. And that's what's going to keep you away from Jesus. And then you're going to draw someone else away. And so here's Adam. Adam believed God, I think. Eve eats it, and then Adam said, she didn't die. Surely God's a liar. Because God said, this day she'll die. And maybe he went, I'll check back with you in 23 hours and 59 seconds. But he didn't believe God either. And so Satan took the truth and put it in such a way that it deceived her. And then she drew her husband away. So technically, ladies, every problem we got in the world is your fault. If you're married, don't say amen, because you got to go home. And the Bible says that there is nothing worse than to live in a house with a contentious woman. You're better off to go onto the rooftop. So if we see one of you up there freezing to death, waving a flag that you need help, we're going to go, I told you, hush. That's right. They're gonna She's like, we're going to high five your face. Look, they speak great swelling words of emptiness, of lies, of deceit. Listen, we're going to give you enough truth so that you get lost and you don't even know it. Let's make them believe they're saved. They're good people. They're a good person. I love how Al Bundy's mama said, he's such a good boy. He wouldn't have done that. Okay, mom. He's not good. But Satan will do that. Empty words to draw you in. And all it does is feed the lust that you're failing to control. They can't bring us the truth. I don't know. Did I have this quote up there? Apparently I don't. They can impress us only with their earthly wisdom and their knowledge, beautiful vocabulary, and their fluency of that. And Obama was really good with that. Obama was double-tongued, man. He was a split-tongued devil. And I'm telling you, and here's why, I say that. So if you voted for him or you like him, don't get you worked up against me. Go watch the video and you'll see what I'm talking about. He gets up there and he talks about the Bible and he talks about all of that discourse. And he says, it's so outrageous that even Jesus that day couldn't have kept it if he wanted to. And then he talks about, I'm a Christian, but you can't believe the Bible. And then one day in his interview, he's talking about faith or whatever. And he goes, and of course, because of my Muslim faith. And then the reporter caught him and then he backtracked. Give all these words, man, and all they are is deceit and trickery. And that's what they do. 21. I'm almost there, guys. Oh, all my verses are at the end. Dang, here we go. It's all good. They allure those who have already escaped from the life of sin through the lust of the flesh. Look here in 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. And so what do? Some of you are Christians and they're drawing you back in because of the lust of the flesh. Because guess what? You don't pray. You don't read your Bible. You don't seek God's face. You attend church. Maybe. You don't do any extracurricular learning or growing. I'm a Christian, but that's it. And Jude says you're going to get in there, whereas by fire. In other words, you were so close to hell and you did nothing. You got saved, but you did nothing for Jesus, and your britches are smoking when you go through those gates. You were that close to hell. And you're allowing these false teachers to pull you away from a close walk with Jesus. That's what this is talking about. And you're like, that wouldn't happen to me. Oh no, it's happening to you. Be very cautious and be willing to understand truth. And in 2 Peter 1:8, he says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you are attached, you won't be barren if you're attached to Jesus. But if you're attached to false teachers, you're going to be barren. Just like the desert is barren from water, you will be barren. Guys, you won't abound. I mean, you just have to pay attention. If your life is miserable, look at why. What are you doing that's against God that you constantly are doing that you won't give up? What is it about the world that you're following that goes against God and you won't give up? Guys, this is real simple math. 1 + 1 really does equal 2, regardless of what the liberals say. What are you doing that is separating you from God? Get rid of that. Just get rid of it. And it might take work, it might take effort, it might take a little bit of time, but you've got to get rid of it. Because if you don't, then you might be a child of God, but Satan will keep putting this in your face. You're miserable, but you're so desperate for an answer that you follow anything. And therefore, he keeps you imprisoned, but makes it look like you have freedom. I'm just telling you guys, man, you will be barren. Life is in Christ. Strength is in Christ. Freedom is in Christ. Deliverance is in Christ. Salvation is in Christ. There is nothing else. And if you add anything else in, then what you do is you push God out. And so Peter's warned us. And then he encourages us. For the sake of time, we won't go there, but you can write this down. 2 Peter 1:5-11. He encourages us to remain faithful just to the basics of faith in Jesus. And understand that these false teachers are going to try to draw you away with the lust of the flesh. And I'll tell you how it works. You remember how you go on the computer and you look something up, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're inundated with ads on that. Right? Or you don't even go on the computer. You're just having a great friendly conversation. And before you know it, by the way, Google, Jesus loves you too, even though you're scoundrels, right? So they'll hear that, but they won't send me anything on scoundrels or on Jesus, but they might on scoundrels. But they hear your conversation. Why are they tracking your conversation? Because they want to pick up whatever you say and then send you stuff to derail you from Jesus. They'll derail you. It's trickery. And Satan's got a lock on it. Deceit. And you get a pop-up and you're like, where'd that come from? Well, just go back and pay attention to your conversation you had. Or we'll be talking and like I have my mic on my phone turned off so no ads or nothing can hear. You can do that on a Google on a Android. Then my wife has a Crapple. And as you're talking, every now and then, because she has a watch too, like silly me, bought her one for Christmas one year. And so she has a watch, and every now and then Siri will come up and go, here's what I found. It was like, nobody asked you. Or it'll come up, sorry, but I do not understand, because you're a computer. And then she has this new thing, which she just discovered she can do. Before, she would look up and she would push the button on the side to stop Siri from interrupting our conversation. But now, I guess if you have an Apple Watch, all you got to do is, yeah, right. I got people shaking their head, right? How many knew that? How many did not know that? How many don't even care at this point? There you go. So now all of a sudden, Siri starts interrupting and my wife will go, and I'm like, beat it some more, right? I got a hammer because she hits it to shut it up and it stops. Anyway, here we go. 22. Go to 22. They promise liberty, but are themselves slaves of corruption. Guys, I'm just going to tell you this. Sin always promises what it can't deliver. It promises us liberty and freedom, and it gives us slavery. And I can prove it. Look at these people that are transgendering. What you don't hear, guys, is those who have actually went through with it, and they're screaming about how bad their life is. There's one person in particular, I'm not going to say any names or anything like that, but they went through because the doctors convinced them to go to have the full change surgically done. And now they, because of the way we're built and the way females are built and the way the surgery was done, it has caused a lot of ingrown hair, which causes a lot of pain, a lot of infection, and now this guy, when he goes to the restroom to do what you and I will do in 10, 15 to 30 seconds, whatever, how depending on how full your bladder is, takes 20 minutes. And then when he's done, it will continue to leak for another hour after. He's constantly in pain, angry. He is so angry because they've lied to him. They deceived him. But you don't hear this. You don't see it. All you see is them pushing how much happier everyone is, and that's a lie. It is an absolute lie. I'm just telling you, man, Satan will promise you liberty, but you will become a slave. And then here's my quote, and I'm finishing with this. And I know I went long, but praise Jesus, we're done. Spiritually, we are either dominated by sin or by the Holy Spirit. You'll either be controlled by the sin of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You'll either be controlled by that, or you'll be controlled by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. And your life is either going to look really ugly, or it's going to look really good. It'll either be chaos, or it'll be organized. But it's going to be your choice. What's your identity? Who's your identity in? Who you're listening to? If it's anything that goes contrary to this, it's a roadblock to righteousness. False teachers will tell you, no, it's okay. But the truth is, it's not okay. And so I just want you to know, real freedom, authentic freedom, is only through following Jesus Christ and being possessed by His Holy Spirit, not the spirit of Satan. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for this day. Father, thank you for those who are sitting here today. Father, for those who are listening live stream. Lord, thank you for the letter that Peter wrote to help us see and understand, because, Lord, you do not want us going down these roads of lies and deceit. You do not want us, Father, living a life of hypocrisy or heresy and all the other junk that Satan tries to bring along to derail us. So, Father, today, I'm just asking, Father, that you would open our eyes. Each and every one of us, Father. Help us to see where we come up short. And then, Father, give us the courage, or help us to be courageous enough to make the changes where they need to be made. Father, help us to understand where Satan is trying to manipulate us so that we can stop the manipulation. Father, help us to see that we need our identity in you and not in the world and not in Satan. But Father, if we rest in you, if we grab hold of you, Father, and we do this through Jesus Christ our Lord, Father, we will have freedom. We will have deliverance. And it might be hard sometimes, but Father, at least we know that when we're opposing what the world calls good and you call evil, when we're opposing the world, Father, that we are in your grace. And Father, we have your favor. Lord, today, if there's anyone sitting here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they think they do, Father, help them to understand where they need to make that adjustment. Father, help them to understand and see truth. And Father, get Satan away from them so they can make the right decision. Father, if there's someone sitting here that this is the first time they've heard this stuff, Lord, help them to anchor in and make the right decision. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you're not sure that you're going to heaven, or you thought you were sure you were going to heaven until I talked you out of it through this sermon, then you need to make the adjustment. You need to call out unto Jesus Christ. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ and make him your Lord and Savior, that means that you understand he died on the cross for your sin. He rose on the third day. He sits at the right hand of the Father. You understand he is the only way to heaven. There is no other. You understand that without him, you can't get there. And you understand that with all of your heart, not your mind, but with all of your heart, that you need to surrender to Jesus and believe unto him as your Lord and Savior to get to heaven. You understand all of that. And if that's you and you want to make that decision, then you quietly, you pray this prayer to yourself. And I'm going to challenge you that if you're full of pride, get rid of that pride, because Jesus will not hear you. We got to go before the throne humbly, understanding we are nothing and he is everything. And if we're going to be anything, it's going to be through him. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Christ, you quietly to yourself, you pray this prayer. Understand, the prayer is not magical. There's nothing special about the prayer. It simply gives you a time stamp of the day you made a conscious decision to surrender all to Jesus Christ. That's what this prayer does. Because if you don't believe unto Jesus with all of your heart, then God says it doesn't matter. He wants all of your heart. And so if it's your desire today to surrender all, pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Jesus, today I'm letting go of the world. Today I stop the deceit. Today I no longer follow heresy. I understand that I am not good enough on my own merit. I understand I am a sinner, and I need to pay for that sin. But today I believe, Jesus, you are the only way. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. And so I put all of my faith and all of my belief into you. Jesus, today I ask that you forgive me of all the sin. And today I repent. I'm no longer going to walk in the ways that I've always walked, in the ways of the world, but I repent. I am going to turn and walk in your ways. Give me the strength. Give me the courage. Give me the boldness. Today I give you me.